Good morning and welcome to the Jimmy Sangenberger Show here on News Talk 710 KNUS. Thanks so much for being a part of the program. If you want to join into the festivities, give us a call, 303-696-1971 is our telephone number to join in to the festivities. You could also text into the show on the 710 KNUS app on your smartphone or tweet at me 24/7 365 at Sang Center. That's Sang with an E, not an A, Center on Twitter. And of course, you can email me. A couple of ways to do that. One is via the 710 KNUS website, 710knus.com. Go to the Jimmy Sangenberger Show page there. You can also email me via my website, jimmysangenberger.com. Remember, there's no A, I, or U in Sangenberger. It's all E's all the time. Once you know that, Sangenberger is easy. So plenty of ways to get in touch with the program today. Always appreciate your participation, especially when we don't really have much for guests. You know, we're going to be doing a whirlwind in the coming weeks of candidate interviews and more. And so I figured, okay, today, why don't we keep it relatively open? The only guest that we have, there was big news in the Tina Peters story, that saga this week, where Belinda Nicely, her now former deputy clerk and recorder, pled guilty to three misdemeanors in the alleged election security breach and has agreed in part and as part of that plea agreement to testify. We will get reaction today from Gerald Jerry Wood and Wendy Wood. Gerald Wood, of course, is the man whose badge was used in order for, according to the indictment of Tina Peters, in order for the alleged election security breach to proceed. We won't spend much time talking about this story today, but it is relevant, especially insofar as Belinda Nicely was directly involved in obtaining the badge for a Conan Hayes, who ended up using Jerry Wood's badge. Going through recruiting, helping to recruit Jerry Wood and getting his badge set, getting it back to her, and then everything else could proceed from there in accordance with the allegations in the indictment of Tina Peters. Anyway, in the beginning of the next hour, we will get reaction from Jerry and Wendy Wood here on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show, and they will be our only guests. Otherwise, we will open up the phones. We'll have conversations. There is so much to talk about. This has been a busy news week. Of course, we have student loan forgiveness. That is a policy now. I have been warning for months, nay, years, that this might happen. And more recently, anticipating that it would happen. Unfortunately, I think Republicans never realized that it was actually possible. And I do believe that Republicans bear some blame for not addressing the issue point blank themselves. We will dive into this in the 8 o'clock hour in depth here on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show, like you won't hear anywhere else. The student loan issue has been a subject top of mind for me for a very long time, as listeners to this program know, and there is a lot to dive into, a number of angles, different aspects to this. I want your thoughts on this whole charade of student loan forgiveness. Which, by the way, Michael Bennett will bear blame for whatever is to come from this policy, from this unilateral initiative, which, by the way, I do think could get struck down eventually by the Supreme Court. We shall see what happens in that regard. But Bennett taking a little bit of a stand that was like, well, I would have done this differently, but I'm not going to say we shouldn't have done it. Instead, I'm going to say that there are a couple of things that Biden is doing regarding higher ed and student loans in particular that, you know, I think were pretty good. I would have done the forgiveness piece a little differently, but that's it. Nonsense, Bennett, if you're going to claim that you opposed this, or if you will try and just pull a bait and switch and not really say, well, I oppose it at any point, but imply that you're not big on board with the way he's going about it. This is a massive thing. The Committee for a Responsible Budget has now said in their analysis that it will cost $500 billion, nearly $500 billion to do this program to simply benefit those who went to college and took out student loans at the expense of those who paid it back, at the expense of those who didn't go to college, at the expense of those who are yet to go to college, and who will likely find their tuition and fees go up as a result because of the moral hazard that results from, oh, hey, we're forgiving certain student loans, so why don't you get a little bit of an expectation for later? That when you go to college and you graduate college, you just might get your student loans forgiven as well. Now, is this something that they are paying attention to? Are they monitoring student loans and the cost of college and how they might go together? Oh, well, Not really. It's not something they're paying close attention to. I think that's according to Karine Jean-Pierre, the White House press secretary. And, I mean, this is what you get when you have an administration like Biden's administration. This is what you get. 303-696-1971. Let's go first up to Malcolm in Denver. Good morning, Malcolm. How are you? Malcolm, are you there? Malcolm.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Oh, good. Okay, I stepped outside. Yeah, I'm great. I have a day off from work. I got canceled, so I'm really enjoying my vacation.
Oh, no, you got canceled.
No, it's great. I've been working too much, and I need a break.
Oh, well, then good for you in that regard, then. I'm happy for you, I guess I should say,
oh,
Malcolm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm a nurse, and I'm working more than I should.
Oh, yes. Okay, good. Well, I appreciate what you do in that regard. Thank you for stepping up, being one of those frontline workers and what you do in the healthcare field, because, it, our health is important.
Thank you. I tried. Anyway, so I gather you got my stinging diatribe on the new narrative, the need for a new, what I'm calling a narrative.
Yes. I haven't been able to review it, but I did get what you sent me.
Uh, okay, well, and one of my biggest complaints are conservative talk radio, because they're the front line of, you know, like, you just, I was just listening to you and you were explaining the nature of where the money will go and increasing college costs due to federal loans and future increases due to repayments, and students are going to take out loans figuring that they'll be forgiven, you know. But that's the problem with the narrative, the word I'm using, narrative, in quotes, is that it's just too complicated. And I think to be able to explain this stuff, I'm an intelligent person, and I can't even understand fiscal policy and the federal, you know, the budget, that, you know, I just don't understand, you know, quantitative easing and all these but we meaning conservative people, have to present a narrative that is that people can understand. And that's why I'm faulting conservative talk radio.
So Malcolm, let me jump in here, and it's a little bit hard to hear you with you being outside right at this moment, but I totally agree with you, and I'm going to be delving into greater depth in the 8 o'clock hour. If you're able to tune in then, I would definitely encourage it, because I have spent a great deal of time in articles writing and speaking about how to effectively address this issue. And one of my big beefs with conservatives, with Republicans, is that the right has been asleep at the wheel, acting as though this is not an issue. And indeed dismissing it as simply saying, well, they took out the loan, so we shouldn't care about it. Now, I am not an advocate for student loan forgiveness, full stop. This is a terribly expensive scheme. It is a scheme that will hurt people far more than it helps. And it is outrageously unfair as well. However, that does not mean that Republicans should have ignored this subject and refused to talk about it and ceded the ground to the left. So then when you would talk to a young person, they would say, well, I'm worried about student loans, and Democrats are the only ones who are actually talking about this issue. And it just so happens that they predominantly would be discussing, oh, well, let's do free college, let's do student loan cancellation, and so forth. And then what happens when you're not even showing up for the debate? Or when you have, to your point, Malcolm, when you have a narrative that doesn't jibe with where people actually are at on all different aspects of the higher education spectrum, as far as whether they went to college or not, whether they're in college now, whether they're a graduate who's trying to pay it back and is struggling, whether they are working class and never went to college and have no plans to go to college, or they went to a technical school and maybe their student loans don't qualify for this kind of forgiveness or whatever. I do think that Republicans, Malcolm, have really failed on a number of avenues, including that narrative, but also in terms of not even showing up for the debate in any real way over many years.
I agree, and the quality of their response is pretty has failed. Not moralizing, we have not framed. It is much easier to say I'm giving you something. I mean, a gift is a narrative in itself that most people will not argue with. I paid for my son's master's degree in education. I said, if you graduate, I'll pay for it. Take a loan, and then when you graduate, I'll pay for it. So, gosh, but how do I articulate that I'm a chump, and I'm trying to make a series of bumper stickers as I'm rewriting this I'm writing this narrative, and I won't take up any more of your time, Jimmy, but are you going to the cigar event with Dennis Prager?
Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to make it myself on Thursday.
Okay. Okay, neither am I. I'll be working, but I won't. But I take issue with Dennis Prager's stance on cigars.
Mm. So let me just say, first of all, I can't speak to Prager, and I have never smoked anything of any sort in my life, whether that's cigarettes or otherwise. So I can't, except I can say, you know, I know folks like my dad who do like their occasional cigars, who do enjoy that. And so but I can't speak to Dennis Prager. Obviously he's a different host. The only thing I have in common with him is that I'm conservative. I'm on 710 KNUS, and my birthday is August 2nd. But Malcolm, thank you for the call. Always appreciate it. We got to run to the break. We'll pick up the conversation with more of your calls, texts, emails, whatever you want to send into the show to join in to the conversation. Be a part of it. 303-696-1971. You're listening to the Jimmy Sangenberger Show here on News Talk 710 KNUS, Denver's local talk leader. Coming back on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show, best damn bumper music known to man, 9 years running next month on News Talk 710 KNUS. Here we've got from their album, All Hail the Kings, I think is the name of the album, the Cashbox Kings, which, well, we had on their two band leaders last Saturday on the program. They performed last night at Dazzle Denver. And yes, indeed, as anticipated, I sat in with the band last night for a tune. We did the old Jimmy Reed song, Bright Lights, Big City, and it was a great time. Man, are they a fun band. They put on a great show. They bring their all. You can hear the groove and the fun and the dynamism in this bumper, if you're listening live, of course, and you can hear the bumper. Remember, folks, the best bumper music known to man gets stripped away for the podcast. So if you miss the show, you miss the bumper music. That's one thing you can't get on the podcast. And as Leroy Duffenbaugh, our producer extraordinaire here on the Jimmy Sangenberger Show, put it, nothing better for a good Saturday morning. Amen, ain't that the truth. But it was a lot of fun. Last night they put on a great show, the Cashbox Kings. Check them out. And what a great time last week talking with Joe Nosek and Oscar Wilson of the Cashbox Kings, again, in town last night at Dazzle Denver. Fun venue, by the way. Never can go wrong when you get to go on stage and play a little harmonica, let me tell you. And by the way, we'll get to calls here in just a sec. We will, my blues band, that is, the Jimmy Jr. Blues Band, will be performing on Friday night, September 9th, at the Arvada Elks Beer Garden that they're hosting for the Arvada Harvest Festival. From 7 to 10 p.m. in Arvada, we will be playing at the Elks Lodge as part of this annual event with their Harvest Festival. Details at jimmyjrmusic.com. Again, jimmyjrmusic.com. That's coming up Friday, September 9th. Would love to see you there. So I guess we're talking about student loans. That's where Malcolm took the discussion. We got a couple of calls on the line to talk specifically about student loans. And I do want to play this clip. Let's just go all in here. Karine Jean-Pierre, the White House press secretary, was asked about whether this might have an impact, this student loan forgiveness scheme that now is estimated to cost $500 trillion to forgive student loans for 20 million people. She was asked about the impact on tuition, and listen to the question and the answer that is sorely lacking.
Does the White House believe that federal student loans play any role in the increasing cost of college, since students are able to, you know, take on more debt that they don't have to pay off right away? does that allow colleges to increase their costs maybe more than they might?
You know, I've gotten this question in the past, not in the past, it's just been a couple of days of this week. And so one of the things, and I think Bharat talked about this a little bit because there's been questions about, is this going to raise the tuition by doing this from colleges? Look, this is something that the Secretary of Education, Secretary Cardona, he has said this in interviews that he'll be monitoring, keeping a close eye on.
He'll be monitoring, keeping a close eye on, you know, this is a...
Here is what the literature is very clear on. Forgiving student loans will only pour gasoline on a burning fire. The federal government, the all-knowing, all-powerful, uber-generous federal government, has caused this burning fire of student loans to exacerbate and thereby incite more and more tuition hikes. The nature of our student loan system, with all the free money out there, the fact that it is easier to get a student loan than it is to get into college, and there's no incentive to the lender to hold back because there's not the risk that the borrower might declare bankruptcy. So all sorts of issues can come about that will exacerbate this crisis. $1.7, $1.8 trillion in student loan debt and all the consequences and everything. There is a crisis there. But this supposed solution will only make the damn thing worse. And we must talk about that and acknowledge that. The government caused this, and once again, the supposed solution is going to be the ruin of many more Americans. 303-696-1971. First up, Sean, then we'll go to Joe. Good morning, Sean in Lakewood. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, and you nailed it. It's absolutely gasoline on a fire, but it's even more interesting. We have 87,000 new IRS agents that are going to be mainstreamed. We've got forgiveness of debt of roughly $500 billion. What that means is that there's going to be $500,000 in taxable income to each one of those students, and they're going to have to pay taxes on that. Right now, they don't have to pay anything.
You know what I'm wondering, Sean? Because you're right. That is what should happen. But we already see this lawlessness from Biden where he is unilaterally taking it upon himself to do this student loan forgiveness through the Department of Education, supposedly using a 2003 law that even the media was just like, how are you using this law and connecting it with COVID and putting all that together for student loan forgiveness? I think the approach he's taken is flagrantly unconstitutional. I wouldn't be surprised, because we don't know about this yet. I wouldn't be surprised if he tries to finagle a way in there to say, well, we're not going to make you pay taxes on your forgiven loans. I doubt it, but I wouldn't put it past him at this point.
Well, there's no political benefit for him to do that, because he gets his bump by, quote, freeing them up from the loan. They're not going to pay the taxes until April of next year. Mm-hmm. The election's over.
Yep.
2022 is over. So, and he's got all these
That's
new
great
agents.
Point.
You know, all I can say is, they don't make mistakes. They're very calculating in terms of what they do. And the people to whom they create tremendous challenges have no understanding of what they're going into.
Yeah.
When my daughter wanted to get her graduate loan, literally, there was no control. Anything she wanted to do, $70,000, no problem. Here you go.
Right.
Now,
no.
She paid it off in 4 years.
Good
after
for her.
She graduated. She paid all her student loans off. We paid all her loans off. The worst thing about this is the people that are most adversely impacted are the lowest levels of our society in terms of income. People of color are more adversely impacted by this. But it looks good. It's just like Lyndon Johnson. You know, he put the Great Society in place. He destroyed families with low incomes. He said they'll vote for us forever based on this. You know, they're very good in terms of how they can try and manipulate those individuals. It looks like they give them something, but all they do is they lock them into an unending cycle of poverty.
It's the poverty trap. It is a real thing, and it bears out in the literature. It bears out in life. And really, here's the thing, Sean. There is a point at which compassion denies reality. And what I mean by that is there's this notion for a lot of people that, oh, you're just being compassionate in forgiving these student loans. But what you're doing is you're denying the reality of what message that sends, whether that is to folks like your daughter who were able to pay back their student loans within 4 years afterwards and were diligently in that regard, or people who decided, you know what, I'm not going to college. That is not for me. Or the students who are going to go to college down the line and they're going to see significantly higher tuition, ever more increasing tuition as a result of the moral hazard, it's called, created by this forgiveness of student loans. The nature of the system already is bad enough, and you're just going to make things worse, which will, to your point about people of color, about lower income groups, it will make it even more intimidating for them to go to college because it will be even more expensive. So you will be discouraging more people who might actually be in the group that would benefit from going to from continuing their education in college or university. You're going to discourage them from doing it. And so you're denying the reality of what are going to be the consequences, all in pursuit of compassion or really votes.
Well, the worst part of this whole thing is back when I was going through school, Colorado contributed a fair amount to our in-state colleges, and it was relatively reasonable. You could actually work your way through school. You can't do that anymore, primarily because, especially in the last 8 years, they've completely eliminated all effective contributions to higher education in Colorado from a practical standpoint. At least it doesn't reflect in the tuition that we pay. And so this chimera of student loans and everything have created an unsustainable long-term problem that makes it very difficult. I mean, when my daughter was looking at colleges, it was more expensive for her to stay in Colorado, go to an in-state school, than to go elsewhere, get a partial scholarship, which didn't make any sense to me, but that's the way it is.
Really? Huh. Now that's an interesting one. I have to run so that we can get to another call here. But I will say you are right that over the years, Colorado's contribution towards higher education has shrunk. But I will tell you also that that is not the driving force for why we have seen higher ed costs get so out of control. However, When we look, it is to me also an argument for why we need fundamental change in the system. Last year, and Heidi Gnall, our Republican candidate for governor, tweeted this out yesterday. Heidi and I wrote two columns last year, co-authored together, on higher ed costs and things that we can do here in Colorado. And one of the ways to go about lowering the cost of college is to boost competition. And that means, since we already are, as you point out, paying so little into the system, we should have the money follow the students, fund the students, not the system. So you would actually get to take your college opportunity fund. We would fully expand that and make it fully so that you can go to any school in an equal amount. There's this thing called the College Opportunity Fund. You can bring in a certain amount depending on what kind of school you go to, whether it's a private school, you get less, or a public school. We want that to be something that follows the student at an equal amount and entirely make it through that stipend, as opposed to having any automatic funding for education or for a college or university. I'll have to get into that a little more because I'm not explaining it very well,
that's,
Sean.
It's straight economics.
Yep.
If the money follows the child, whether it be at the elementary, high school level, or at the college level, people have an incentive to find the best fit for them, and they know what they need.
Yep.
Government is never going to do a better job than we as individuals can do for ourselves, if we're given the chance. The other thing is, when they turned government, when they turned student loan financing, when they shoved effectively most of the private lenders out of it, put government in charge with no controls, no attempt to look at, can they pay us back? I mean, if I graduate with, you know, a master's degree in basket weaving, how am I going to pay back $110,000?
Right. Nope, that's, and you know what, Sean, I got to let you go, but that is exactly why, and great call, by the way, thank you. That is exactly why we need incentives in place for colleges and universities to hold back on the tuition costs, and that includes making sure that students aren't taking majors that will have no practical use or effect. And there are ways to make that happen. For example, restoring the ability for deeply indebted borrowers to discharge their student loans in bankruptcy. That is virtually impossible. It is possible, but it's virtually impossible to do right now. And that takes away any risk to the lender. It's one of a number of things we need to do in our system that work much more, especially because bankruptcy is not without consequences, unlike student loan forgiveness, where it's a tax bill, sure, but that's it. 303-696-1971. Joe in Arvada has been patiently waiting. Good morning, Joe. Thank you.
To mention that.
Sorry,
at
Joe.
The beginning of
sorry, Joe.
Show,
we had your volume down. I apologize.
Okay. Well, at the beginning of the show, you had CBS News.
The station did, yes.
Announcing that the Dow had fallen 100 points yesterday. No, CBS, the Dow fell 1,000 points yesterday.
Mm,
you
that
missed
is
it
right.
by a factor of 10. I think the problem is that we're getting lied to, and then they never make the correction. See, that's what propaganda is. Oh, I made a mistake. I never make a correction. This is kind of what they're doing here. They're trying to move into the minutia of the student loans. I think it's an important topic, but they're trying to get the ball, your eye on the squirrel. See, squirrel. Now everybody's looking at squirrel. No, we have an election coming. The economy is tanked. The Fauci's and the COVID problem caused our economy to tank.
Yes.
Our lack of freedom is what destroyed it. And we're taking our eye off the ball and looking at, oh, the 13% they're going to be benefited if we all vomit money to their coffers. No, we don't need to do that. We need to get control of our economy by getting this monster government out of our back pocket.
So let's not forget that. Joe, let me just jump in there
Go
real
ahead.
Quick, because I agree with everything you said with this caveat. I think it actually is a critical topic in this election year, because it is an issue that the Democrats are going to exploit. It's an issue we need to push back on and will resonate with people who haven't gone to college, who have paid back their student loans and feel like they are being treated unfairly, because guess what? They are, among all the other consequences. But here's the other thing. We have had a pause on student loan payments with no interest since February, March of 2020, and that has continued. Biden now says, oh, I'm expiring it on December 31st, finally. I think he might actually expire it on December 31st, because we'll get past this November's election. But the reason he's waiting until December 31st is twofold. On the one hand, it's political, because he wants people to know, okay, I haven't been paying my student loans back necessarily for this long period of time, and woohoo, way to go, Biden, for extending this. But on the other hand, we'll have the forgiveness piece, unless it gets struck down in court, we will have the forgiveness piece go on over the next several months, and then you will have people who may have their loans significantly reduced and it just or gone altogether, and it bunches those two issues together, and he gets broad benefit from that, and we need to push back against it, don't we?
We're losing focus by getting into the minutia of their issue.
How would you approach it?
We need to stay focused on the fact that the Democrats have destroyed our economy by voting the Treasury to the electorate. We need to stop doing that. We need to get conservatives in power. Otherwise, this economy will never recover.
So it's a big picture argument.
The second biggest story is that the FBI weighed in on the 2020 election.
Yes.
You guys are missing the focus there. You have to get back to the things that destroyed our nation and then fix them, not just get into the, oh, well, let's play around with the student loan issue. Oh, what about the tax on that? You know, we see what we're doing is we're running after the squirrel. Stop running after the squirrel. Democrats destroyed our economy.
I first of all, I appreciate the call. Great call. We have to run. Leroy is giving me the hook here because we're up against the break or the computer is going to cut us off. But I'll address a couple of thoughts on your call in just a moment when we come back here on the Jimmy Sengenberger Show, because I think there's a lot of truth to what you're saying. But this is an issue that I believe is relevant and must be discussed. We'll pick up the conversation on the other side. 303-696-1971. News Talk 710 KNUS. Ah, the great late Freddie King, one of the three kings of the blues. Welcome back to the Jimmy Sengenberger Show. News Talk 710 KNUS. Real quick on Joe's call, which I thought was very good. He was expressing sentiments, and I hope I'm reflecting it accurately, but that Republicans are taking our eye off the ball, sort of the big picture of how the Democrats are screwing us over by even addressing and really diving in to this discussion about student loans. And I would say no, that actually this is an issue that is emblematic and a case in point of why the Democrats are, shall we say, screwing the country over in so many ways by throwing out all this taxpayer money and calling it forgiveness of student loans. It's dastardly, and it needs to be called out, in my assessment. 303-696-1971. We're just up against the break, but we've got a moment here. We can squeeze in Elizabeth in Centennial. Good morning, Elizabeth. You're on the Jimmy Sengenberger Show.
Hi, Jimmy. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. We're pretty tight here, so what's on your mind?
Six words. Transformation of America, transfer of wealth.
I love those six words. What do you mean by them?
Well, I mean, this is exactly what Barack Obama planned when he originally came on board, that we're going to transform America, and the way we're going to do it is we're going to take the money away from the people who have it and give it to the people who don't have it.
Yes.
And that's exactly what's been happening. We've been getting fleeced all through the Obama administration, and this is just a continuance of that.
Although, interestingly here, we're not really talking about people who don't have the money necessarily, especially because, or the earning potential. Because if you look, it is anybody who took out student loans before July 1st, 2022. So you have a college kid who just graduates next year, let's say, or just graduated, and they have earning potential because they got an engineering degree, and then you're going to swipe away $10,000. You're actually helping a person who should be able to get a job pretty quickly and a pretty good one at that.
I think the more important point is that you're taking it from somebody who has it, which
yes.
are the taxpayer.
Absolutely. Yes. Always when we look at government, it doesn't invest in anything, for example. It
Correct.
Simply reallocates or redistributes wealth. And that's what you're talking about with the transfer of wealth, is a redistribution
yes.
of money and assets.
Yep. And this is just one way to do it. I mean, stealing from the taxpayer and giving it to Ukraine and the European countries over there is another way that it's happening in a very large way. And we're barely even talking about, you know, the last $750 million that Obama decided to throw over to Ukraine a couple weeks ago. That was just a blip.
So,
all right. Same thing.
Elizabeth, got to run.
Yeah.
Hey, a great point. I appreciate it. Transformation of America, transfer of wealth. We're going to shift gears in the beginning of the next hour, maybe through the next hour. We'll see where you want to take the conversation. We're going to start it off with Gerald Jerry and Wendy Wood and get their reaction to the plea deal by Belinda Nicely this week regarding the Tina Peters matters. That exclusive coming up on the other side, the Jimmy Sengenberger Show. News Talk 710 KNUS, plus Zuckerberg, Hunter Biden, and Big Tech.